Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, at Mass today we have commemoration of St. John Vianney, the curate of Ars, and also a confessor, priest confessor, and also of St. Romanus, martyr. Saturday of this week is the Feast of the Annunciation, a holy day of obligation. It will not be possible for me to be here for Mass, nevertheless you need to sanctify the day. And so, in the positive, there will be a holy hour at 9:30. You should make every effort to attend the holy hour in honor of Our Lady Assumption. And then, it being a holy day of obligation, it is not a day for regular Saturday chores. So you should strive to get those taken care of during the week, and like grocery shopping, I realize for some people that often a Saturday thing, but work to get it done during the week. And then the first thing is to sanctify the holy day is the holy hour, but beyond that it would be fitting to have a picnic or some fishing or whatever you might do that is an enjoyable thing in honor of the holy day. So it takes an extra effort, and yet we should think of the glory of our Blessed Mother taken up to heaven, and as we are devoted to her here upon earth, so we will have the hope of her company in heaven. We'd also like you to continue your prayers for Jerry McCullen. The dear Lord has preserved him really remarkably. 4 weeks ago, I thought he had just a few days to go, and yet he's still with us and is very weak in body. And he's definitely declining. Yesterday, I was able to bring him Holy Communion, small portion of the host, and he was able to receive. He was also able to respond to the prayers, not very loudly, but it was definitely that he could. So it's a special grace that God is giving him. We should be thankful for that, and also assist them with their own prayer. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. If you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered first unto you, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until his presence, and some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen by James and by all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. Please stand for the gospel. And taken from that according to St. Mark. At the time, Jesus, going out of the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and to the midst of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he might lay his hand upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned, and he said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, he hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted out. He has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today we commemorate, and there's a feast day, of St. John Vianney, the curate, the pastor of Ars. Ars is a little town in France, a little village. And when St. John came to Ars, it had a population of something like 230 people, and it had four taverns, and at least one, maybe more, dance halls. And what part of what St. John had to deal with was the after effects of the French Revolution, and then we say the disordered recreation of the people within his own town. And the two are kind of connected. Now, in the French Revolution in the 1790s, there was the great slaughter of the clergy. There was the setting up of the so-called Goddess of Reason, and that took out part in the big city, but then it had effects all over. Furthermore, there was the great disruption, and tens of thousands of people were murdered, and the end result was that much of society collapsed. And along came Napoleon, who kind of put things together, but a lot of that disruption continued. And so when Father Vianney was sent to Ars, they had not had a pastor for a period of time. And it was not simply that the people didn't have the regular practice of the faith and the instruction of the sacraments, but also they had fallen into, we could say, a practical paganism. And so, rather than going to church on Sunday, they literally went to the one of the taverns, and then the high part of their life, for many of them, was the dance hall, so they would get dressed up, and then they would spend their money in both places. They would go there at the very best, they were out very late on Saturday night, so they were unlikely to come to church on Sunday. And beyond that were all the other sins that come from an excess of alcohol and then the disordered dancing, sins of impurity, sins of jealousy and vanity, and of course the neglect of the things of religion. All of those were piled up. So St. John came to pray and to suffer for his people and to be patiently with them, which he did over the course of many years, and gradually, to the grace of God, brought them away from these disordered recreations. He brought them back to the knowledge and the love of God. He actually built things up such that Ars became known not as a center of dissipation and debauchery, but rather a place where ordinary people were good and perfect Catholics, where there was practical holiness. But it took decades and many, many prayers, very much suffering on his part. So it's a good time for us to consider with regard to recreation, which is where the problem, we could say, gathered. The problem really came because of the godlessness of the French Revolution and also because of the wiles of the devil and fallen human nature. But it tended to center itself here. It's a problem that we have in our own day, not literally in the sense of saloons and dance halls. We have other things. But the underlying issues are there. And what is it is disordered recreation. So it is profitable for us to consider what is ordered recreation and then to examine ourselves and make some resolutions and perhaps some painful resolutions in order to not become the slaves of disordered recreation. We say, well, what is meant by recreation? Well, recreation. It means that we as limited human beings have only so much strength of mind and body, and we might even say of soul, and that at a certain point we need to back off the duties and the burdens in order to get a certain amount of rest, a certain amount of change of pace, and also an outlet and a use for the things that we are parts of our nature that we probably don't use sufficiently because we have other duties or just circumstances of life. We see an example in our Lord on occasion where leave off his preaching and take the apostles to go up in a time of prayer and so on. We see that after our Lord's resurrection and all of the stress of that time, Peter said, let's go fishing. So as he and the other apostles, several of them went out fishing, and that's when our Lord appeared to them and cooked breakfast for them. What a wonderful thing that our Lord cooked breakfast for the apostles. And of course, he filled the net with 153 big ones of the fish. So we see that example in a religious community where everything is so regulated. There's a time where you're not supposed to be in chapel. You're supposed to be with one another, whether it's playing cards or just playing football or whatever you're doing, or depending upon the age and the situation, the time of recharge. Why? So that later on you can go back and pray with more attention or the other duties of daily life. And so on. Within the very life of the church, there's times of intenseness, especially to think of Lent, and very much Holy Week, and then the church backs off in Paschal times, time of celebration. And even the prayers of the priest breviary are much shorter during that time. So there is this balance. This is because, again, we're creatures composed of body and soul, and we need to rest one in order to be good for the next. So that's an ordered manner of doing it, that it makes us strong and capable for the good things, and also it gives us the time to be with one another, especially when our duties may have it somewhat isolated. What happens, though, is that because of our fallen human nature and the wiles of the devil and sometimes the wickedness of ourselves and one another, that we take this to an extreme. And one particular sees it even in the Old Testament, said of the Hebrews at a certain point, they sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. They were getting involved with the pagans around them. We see that in the pagan cultures. The original Olympic Games were an event in honor of these demons, really, the false gods. And so those are like more extreme tendencies. But the other tendency of human beings is that we are inclined to get caught up in things that we find to be fun, enjoyable, one way or another. And then to give too much attention to them, and then they get out of their due place. In some cases, then they also lead to one or another sin, and that sin becomes an obsession, even an addiction. So that's where the problems come in. And so what do we see happen in ours, in that particular circumstance, and we can look at how it happens in their own situation. Is it wrong to have an alcoholic beverage? No. God hath made wine and gladden the heart of man. Our Lord turned water into wine for the wedding feast of Cana, his first public miracle. He used it for the Holy Eucharist. But what does St. Paul say? Well, the drunkard shall not possess the kingdom of heaven. And that from wine comes and excessive use of wine or other alcoholic beverages comes impurity. So that's where the difficulty comes. And so it's all too easy then to have a place where someone might go to enjoy one or another alcoholic beverage and then to do it to excess, the excess of cost, excess of time, of course, excess of consumption, which then leads to in many cases, fights, leads to impurity, and leads to neglect of spiritual and other duties, and very easily it leads to neglect of the needs of our neighbor, the duties of charity. So that's an example. And then what happened in ours was that it went to a very great extent. Also, the restraint that had been present with the practice of the faith in the days of fast and abstinence and so on was upset, just turned topsy-turvy by the French Revolution and then the institutionalization of it under Napoleon. That was what was going on at the time, that St. John Vianney was a young man and he got drafted into Napoleon's army and ended up missing a movement forward, and he was what we might call at that point a draft dodger. Not that he set out to do it, but it happened. And so that's one element. Another element that he had to deal with was dancing. Now, is dancing of itself inherently immoral? The answer is no. You can look in the sacred scripture, you'll find both. The for example, David danced before the tabernacle, joy before God, and other references. And then we can find the condemnation of those who are given to salacious dancing, and especially think of Salome, the one who danced for Herod, and then it caused St. John the Baptist his head. So you have both. But it's not intrinsically wrong. It's partly an expression of our human nature. Our body is connected to our soul, and expresses joy, but it can easily get out of line, especially what does it lead to? Well, first of all, being better than someone else, or very good at it, so a certain charm, the time, the money, and in some cases, people going to a sense of, in those days, of dressing fancily to go to a dance, right? And we have sort of the opposite today, but that's what was happening then. And then that's all that people thought about. And so it wasn't just in Irish, it was a fairly broad popular thing in many, many places in the country, but there it was especially intense. So that's what St. John was fighting. So that became disorder. In our own day, what do we see? Well, yes, there's still the excess of alcohol. People go to various bars and pubs for what they do at home. We have something much worse, which is narcotics. Just Friday, driving through the Hampton Roads tunnel, I caught that skunky smell. Someone there, we stopped before I went to the tunnel. Even in the tunnel, I'm in the car, I don't know who or what, but it was there. It's all over the place. It's not only, it's destructive to the soul, first of all, then the mind and the body. And there's almost a pagan adulation of this, which is, it was pushed together with abortion. The two different evils, but one can wonder if there isn't. But those who push one tend to push the other. So I have to say they both come from the devil. And then what else do we find in our culture and with variations throughout the world is the false religion of sports. Yourselves. All the hullabaloo about the soccer, and in other countries it's a very big deal, less so for us, but well, what's our version? Football. Canadians, it's hockey, and so on. So are these things wrong in themselves? No, it's not wrong to play soccer. Okay? In the seminary, we play soccer, and we even play soccer on the snow. We got out and did it. All right, it was. But to be so caught up in it that it becomes the center of our lives, that people spend individually tens of thousands of dollars and collectively billions of dollars have kind of shut down their lives for a few weeks to do this. That's disorder. When one can ask many Americans, to, you know, which is more important to you, Easter Sunday or Super Bowl Sunday? And sadly, I think the answer is the second one. That's a false religion. When people miss a fret at having an afternoon mass or miss an afternoon mass in our situation, and those are the Catholics, the traditional Catholics, because I'm going to miss my football game. That's a disorder. And so when one finds it difficult to have devotions during Lent because of high school or other athletic activities, it's a disorder. And so on. So we face this. And then the way it comes to us all too often is through the visual media and so on. So these are the disorders. So first of all, we have to recognize it. And push back against the idea that perfection, success, is being able to run faster or whatever. Again, these people who do these things are very capable. But in the end, what's the big deal of being able to throw a shot put a little further than the next person, or to do a few more flips on skis or whatever it might be, or even just closer in of being the best in a particular league? It can be exciting and it can have a due place. We'll see that in a second. But it's not the purpose of our existence. Meant to help the purpose of our existence. So what does it mean in a practical order then to have ordered recreation? We can say it's partly for what's called formation, especially formation of body, formation of, and there can be some formation of soul. Formation of body, you need exercise. Especially when we're in a more mechanized or electronic world, we need to get out and move and do things. And if we don't do that, what happens? Well, yes, the muscles get weak and so on. But also, we don't sleep well, and then we're tempted in many other ways. Also, it's an outlet for the energy, especially youthful energy, that otherwise will get into mischief. For the mind, well, the mind builds upon the body, concentrating on something and doing something good. And there are other recreations that are not so much physical as intellectual, let's say music or sports or whatever, or even cooking. We eat in the end part, but it's the mind that makes it happen. That these enable us to fulfill our duty. So it forms that, especially it overcomes the idea of just being lazy and just being passive before what someone else puts to us. So we go and we work on it. And then for the soul, it's being willing to work with others, especially something that's team, of the efforts to do something natural encourages us to make the efforts for things supernatural. So it has its place. And again, every religious order has a time of recreation. It's not, if you have nothing else to do, this is a time in the day, and you put everything else aside. There's a beautiful story from St. Aloysius Gonzaga. And they, during their recreation, they had some kind of billiards, their version of kind of a pool table, and the novices were playing. And the conversation came up, well, what would you do if you knew you were going to die in an hour? One said he would go to confession, the other said he would go to the chapel, and so on. Saying Aloysius looks up and he said, I keep playing pool. Why? And he says, that's in the rule of what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Of very practical sanctity. And so it has its place. But then, how do we do this? How do we navigate this? Well, first of all, the things of God must come first. seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice. So, what does that mean? Well, we make sure that our spiritual duties are taken care of, that no recreational events undermine our Sunday observance. We're holy days. And well, sort of a practical thing for this time of year, where people may be signing up for different leagues or events, make it very clear in our own mind and to those we're dealing with that if there's a conflict between this recreation and the things of God, so Sunday observance, holy days, and so on, that the things of God are going to come first. And not just to kind of hope it doesn't happen, but to make that known right up front. And if it means that we're not welcome on a given team or activity, so be it. We'll find something else to do. For the most part, I think people will respect us. We have to stand up for ourselves. There is more and more the idea that Sunday is man's day in particular, and who was one that made good use of that? Well, Adolf Hitler. So that is that. The next is to do it in due proportion. So this is meant to give us an outlet and recharge us for the things of our duty. The things of recreation should not become more important, either with regard to time or money or whatever. And so if we find we're spending too many hours, we have to cut back. We spend too much money, cut back. If we have too much of our attention, time to cut back. And if we find that we can't cut back on to a safe level, then like St. John at the end said, the ends all has to go. So that takes courage, it takes determination, it takes the grace of God. And then in what we do it with due proportion, this something can be sporting, or it can be, let's say, card playing or chess or whatever. Each of those is a legitimate recreation. But if we become so focused on it that we try to become the world's best, what happens? We get to the point where it's hard to find someone else with whom to do it, because we're always going to win. Now, there are differences of talent, differences of personal strength and all that sort of thing, and sometimes differences of culture. With the soccer example, those who come from Mexico or South America, they seem to be born with soccer ball on their feet, and we get together with North Americans, they run circles around us. Okay. But if you become too good at something, then it's hard to find someone else with whom to do it in an enjoyable manner. I noticed that in the seminary, we played hockey. There was a lake behind it, and the winter would freeze, and we would learn to play hockey. And there were a few of the men who were really good at hockey. They'd been to hockey schools and whatever. But then it got to be kind of boring for them. Others had a hard time standing up on skates. Okay. So that's something to look at. Be both natural and supernatural. And then always to do it with charity. So true sportsmanship. Purpose here is to have a good time, more recreation, or rebuilding ourselves and whatever we do, and whether it be more sporting or it be more things like cards or chess or whatever. At the end, do we leave it in peace? Does it give us a peace of body and soul? And if it does that, it's productive. If it doesn't, if it introduces conflict or an obsession, then it's not no longer good. Certainly it's not good for us, and maybe it's not good in itself. So these are some considerations then to take to heart. And in the time of St. John Vianney, they had their version, we have our version, but the moral principles are the same at every time. And we should pray to St. John Vianney today to give us both the wisdom for his intercession, to see what we need to do, and then the strength to follow through and accomplish it. And we see that he started off in a very kind of a hopeless situation, a little town, little village where the practice of the faith had pretty well disappeared. And by the time he finished his sojourn upon this earth, it was a center of the faith, a center of sanctity, not just for that little community, but indeed for the whole world. God calls us, maybe not so dramatically, but in our own way, to do the same. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.